Welcome back to Jump Scare. I'm Betty.
And I'm Chad.
And this kicks off, this film that we watched, kicks off our Witch Month. Hansel, oh, actually, Gretel and Hansel.
A fairy tale has a way of getting into your head, even before you hear it. Somehow you just know it. And it always went like this.
Pleased to make your acquaintance. I'm called Gretel, and this rough one here is my brother Hansel.
Ouch! Tell me how you came to be in my woods.
There's too much, and it isn't right.
You're scared.
There's something wrong here.
Careful, dear. I'd hate for you to start something you can't stop.
It's only a 200-year story, so that's known as Hansel and Gretel. So, of course, automatically you're going to say Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah, and this is, you know, the second most amazing Hansel and Gretel movie. Oh. The first one being Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
No.
I'm just messing with you.
that's not a thing. Is that a thing? Do people actually love that movie? Hey, it was okay. It you know, Hawkeye's in it, isn't it?
Yeah. It's one of those like Saturday afternoon things. If you see it on Saturday afternoon on the Sci-Fi Channel, you're like, well, okay, that was fine. Well, I didn't throw rocks at it or anything.
So. Yeah. Well, we decided to watch this film, and we did. A lot of you, this is the first time joining, we usually do older movies. Once in a while, we'll do a new one. When we're able to get out there into the theater and watch them, because we are parents of a toddler, so it's not as easy to get out as it used to be.
But, and they frown on us taking the toddler to the R-rated horror movies at night.
Yeah, and I wouldn't take her.
Bunch of weirdos.
Oh my God, okay. And it's my favorite month. February is my favorite month. It's also the month of love. And this movie kind of has it definitely has a love tone to it.
Yeah.
Right? There's some love in the movie. There's the love of, spoiler alert, eating children's flesh.
Yes.
Right?
There's the love of just eating, as Hansel and Gretel love to eat.
Yeah, they're a bunch of pigs, just like they were in the story, in the original story by the brothers Grimm, in case you didn't know. And, oh my goodness, and the love for a sister for her brother, and vice versa. They do love one another.
Now, this is from Osgood Perkins,
Woo! Who
has done some other films in the past, like I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House, which we did not care for. It was well made, but it was just very, very slow.
Okay, so let's just start right off. The movie's been out for like 4 days, right? Of course, the consensus for a lot of people are going to be, one, the people are not speaking like modern English, because hello, it's set, you know, in the past. Two, the movie's kind of slow. It's not as slow as The Pretty Things, but Oz Perkins is like a slow burn. He wants to show you everything. The story kind of like unravels as it goes, and you're on a journey. It's not going to be a fast-paced movie.
No.
You know, it's not that kind of a film.
And the other movie that he did that we really liked was...
Which is on my best list of the top of the decade.
Yep. Is The Black Coat's Daughter, or February as it was released overseas. But that one is also a very slow-moving movie, but it, you know, it pays off in the end. I just didn't feel like I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House. I feel like it didn't really pay off as much in the end.
No, it did not. I did not care for this movie. Sorry,
Mr. But that Perkins. One was actually his second movie.
Correct.
Or I think it...
No, it
yeah,
was
his
second movie.
Yeah, it was his second movie, because the first one didn't get released in the U.S. until way after because of some kind of rights issue.
Which was February.
Yeah.
And here we are with Gretel and Hansel. Alice Krieger? Yeah. Alice Krieger, who you may, if you watch a lot of horror movies, she was Mary, the mother in the Sleepwalkers film.
Yes, she was also in The Ghost Story, which is one of the, you know, classics.
And Shad's favorite, I'm going to
assume. Yeah, Star Trek First Contact. She was the Borg Queen, and she also returned to that in the last episode of Voyager. She played the Borg Queen again.
She's a veteran actress. She's been in things here and there. A lot of older, like, British things. She's South African. She has, like, her voice is amazing.
Yeah.
And she could just look at you and just, like, your face feels like it's melting. It just may be me. She creeps me the fuck out. Like, every time I see her, no offense, it's just she just does so well in all of her. She has such a commanding voice and presence that's, like, eerie to a sense. I don't know. There's something about her.
Yeah, I saw her in person once at a Star Trek convention around 2007. And she still puts off that vibe just when she's talking. You have that, like, everybody's listening to her, you know? A lot of times when you go to these Q&As at conventions, you get people that ask very weird or inappropriate questions. No one asked her anything weird or inappropriate because she kind of had a control over the room, you know? You didn't want to say something that pissed her off because you had the feeling that, you know, she could just look at you and shut you up, you know?
Yeah. This film is PG-13, which is a great introduction film for those of, you know, the younger audience.
Yeah.
There are some gruesome fucking things that happen in the movie. I couldn't stomach them because they're visually horrifying, as we had mentioned kind of earlier. But
I really felt like they pushed the envelope pretty good for a PG-13, because if you had told me it was an R, I would have thought, okay, that's kind of a light R, I guess, would be, you know?
Yeah, for sure, light R. But not PG-13. It's like how PG-13 used to be in the 80s, where you're, like, sitting there and you're like, holy fuck, you watch it, like, this movie was PG-13. This should have been an R-rated movie.
Yeah, I mean, even, like, ones like classics like Gremlins. Come on, Gremlins should have been an R, where they're microwaving gremlins and exploding them and running people over with bulldozers. And how many people died in that movie, you know?
This is Sisters, Osgood's third film. Wow, that's a lot. It was a lot. It was a mouthful right there. It's his third film where the female is a protagonist. And I was reading an interview that he did, and he said, quote, "I think using the lens of a female protagonist helps as a director and writer to sort of stay in that place of not knowing, which is, unquote, which is great because, of course, he's a man. He's directing, and with some of the other films, he actually wrote or co-wrote them. And it is, those movies do always have, you know, they do have a woman being. And how could he know what a woman in said situation would think?
Yeah.
You know, and it's really cool for him to say, like, it kind of happened coincidentally, and I'm not seeking out to have always the female protagonist, but it's an area where I like because it is unknown, and the situations that they're dealing with are supernatural and unknown. So it has me, you know, I can really focus on everything around, and you know, you really have to hone in on, like, what's going on with her. And just the way he shows you, like, everything that's happening. It's just the use of the lens while he's telling the story, I think, is pretty magical because it's just stunning.
Yeah, if you liked, like, the cinematography of The Witch, then you'll love how this movie looks. Because they're similar. I mean, I'm not going to say they look exactly the same, but they're similar the way that it's shot, where you see how, like, ominous the forest looks. I mean, you look at that, and it's just, you right off the bat, you're like, oh yeah, don't ever get off that fucking road. Stay right on that road and keep to it, because anything outside of that road is bad news for you, you know?
Yeah, it's not the traditional Hansel and Gretel story that we all know. You know, it does have its own, it's a fresh look at the story. They took elements of the story and recreated them into this whole new story, and I didn't find that annoying. I love fairy tales, and you know, fairy tales used to be about there's a lesson that has to be learned.
Yeah.
And they were never happy. I mean, Disney has made so many of these fairy tales happy, but this is not the way of the... You can't learn anything until, you know, if everything is all happy in the end. Like, what did you learn?
Yeah, most of the Grimm's fairy tales don't have a very happy ending.
No, hence the Brothers Grimm, because their shit was fucking grim. But yeah, do you definitely are not... I mean, I don't know. Is this spoiler alert? Spoiler alert. We're going to do a spoiler alert. This is the first time. We always just freaking reveal everything. I'm not going to try to hide. It's hard to discuss something for me that I've seen and try to like hide everything and not tell you what's really going on. But there's a story within a story, and it's the story of what you think is one girl, and what happens to her kind of affects later on the Gretel character, which is why her name is first, because it's to tell the audience the story is not about Hansel. The story is about Gretel. Hansel's just a tag along. He's not really, I mean, he's in the film, but there's a lot of the part where he's not. I found it very interesting on how he actually, and I would totally did not see this coming at all. He started forming a relationship between the Alice Krieger character, and which she's a witch, and Gretel. And you see how that's, you know, unraveling, and there's so many things going on between them, and how she's learning from her. But yet, you know, it's a coming of age story. There you go. It's a coming of age supernatural fucking story.
And, you know, Hansel is seeing this happen and realizing he's going to be left out of it. Because there's not a place for him in the witch's world, you know?
For sure. There's not a place in their bellies, maybe.
Yeah, he's got a place in the oven, but he doesn't have a place in their world.
I have to say that visually, I mean, there's things that happen in the movie besides the whole scene where they eat mushrooms, which I don't like mushrooms. They freak me the fuck out. So
these were like Mario mushrooms, though. They were fine.
No, I can do cartoon mushrooms. I just can't do like real mushrooms. There's a tripping scene, which I thought was really fucking hilarious. The kids are starving. The story, the main line of Hansel and Gretel going down, you know, into the forest and trying to survive, that still stays intact. It's what happens when they finally get to the house, and it's not the house that we all know that's covered with candy and cookies and, you know, shit. That's inside, but they're starving, so they go and they eat these mushrooms, and then they fucking trip out, and, you know, it's like a good / bad trip.
Yeah, it starts off good, ends badly.
Yeah, very badly.
The house in this, I gotta say, one of the things in the Hansel and Gretel story is always like they go to the house and it's made out of candy and it looks very cute and like it would draw kids in. This house did not look cute. This house was made to say, stay the fuck out of my yard.
Yeah, for real. I was like, do not fucking go bang in the house. And then the windows have like this creepy eye thing that you look through. I mean, who created the house? Can we talk about who fucking made this house? Who said designers? Thank you very much for creating. This is not a real fucking house. I mean, imagine. It looks like a house you would find in like one of those Netflix shows about cool fucking houses, you know?
But I was going to say it's one of those houses that you see like in the dream sequence of a Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
Oh my God.
Where they're like running into the dreams and there's like the scary house that they can't get out of, and it's like all black with creepy windows, and you're like, oh fuck, nobody would really build a house like that, so it must be a nightmare.
It's a black fucking triangle house in the middle.
They built the house
of a forest, and the house itself, it has its own story. That house definitely, I mean, every aspect of the film, I'm not going to say it's the greatest movie ever. You know, it is what it is. It's a horror movie, as I usually say most of the time. I enjoyed it, but the house itself, like, so creepy. And just the things inside the house and the subtle, like, there's a part where she opens, like, a box. And it has all these, like, rattles and, like, stuff that they, you know, were taken from the children that she's acquired. Kind of like a serial killer. And in the box, you can hear the children's screams, like, silently. Oh, it's so creepy.
It's very quiet. You hear, like, Just as she opens the box, she's like, oh, there's nothing good in there.
It's like when Freddy ripped open his fucking sweater and all those souls are like popping out of his chest.
Yeah. I love the fact that in this like creepy looking fucking house with like the iron gates up at the front of it, there's like a children's slide, like a small like toddler size slide out front. It's like, yes, I'm a creepy witch death house, but I also like to have fun.
How are you going to lure the kids? You're going to lure them with the fun things, you know? You go, ooh, a slide.
That slide didn't look fun.
Well, they never had a slide. They're all poor. So yeah, this is like, what is this magical thing I've ever seen before? It's like, you know, God knows what fucking date it is. We don't know. It's a long time ago. And yeah, the house itself has its own story. And then underneath the house, that's where it gets mad creepy. Because, of course, like in all things, and just the way he, like the framing, everything. It's like you get a hard-on for like that aspect of it, like the cinematography part. Because it's just...
Yeah, it's a beautiful-looking movie.
So beautiful. It's hauntingly beautiful. But...
And the actors all do a great job. That Alice Krieger, whatever she's in, she's always super creepy. And she really brings it in this one.
Sophie Lillis. She's a little girl from Chapter 2, Beverly. She's the main star. I really didn't recognize her with the very short hair. I guess I should have, because she kind of has short hair in the other one, too. But this is like real, real pixie cut short.
Yeah.
She, you know, she does a great job. And, whoo, man, how she stayed intact, like... Her mom, like, threatened to kill her in the beginning of the movie, which is why they had to get the fuck out, because her mom basically told them, like, she was going to cut them up into little pieces. That was the part where you're like, probably got to go.
Can we just talk about the...
beforehand?
They sent her for, like, a job interview to go to be a maid at this house, supposedly. Another house. And she gets there, and the guy is dressed like... I don't know, like a Saturday Night Live caricature of what like an old-timey person would be like. He's got like the, you know, the little bit of the white face paint. He's got the leggings, and he's just like, oh, yeah, such a lovely girl. Tell me, is your maidenhood intact?
Yeah.
That's like his question for her, and she's like, oh, I'm sorry, what?
He's like, I beg your pardon?
And he's like, you can beg all you want, but please answer the question. You're like, oh, no, he's not looking for a maid.
No, he's looking for... Ew, but then he was like, oh, that's what my guests are going to like. Like, ew, I was like, get the fuck out of there. Run. Run.
Yeah, this is the interview where you go, well, thanks for considering me, but I'm going to go ahead and decline this position now.
I'm going to get the fuck out of here, my lord, because he wanted her to call him my lord.
Yeah,
no.
Get out now.
No, so she ran for her life. She literally actually ran out the house. Yeah.
And the brother, and with good reason, too.
And the brother's like, you fucked up our opportunity. What the hell's wrong with you? Mind you, he's like 7. And he actually doesn't say that, but he says in his old-timey way. And she's like, you don't understand. And it's like, yeah, he doesn't understand, you know, that when you grow up, you may or may not become someone that's creepy and perverted and wants to have girls that have their maidenhoods intact. Ew!
Yeah, this guy was super creepy, too. I don't know who they got to play him, but man, they must have just taken out an ad that said, sleaziest guy imaginable, please come in and put on this powdered wig and some white face makeup.
No, actually, the creepy thing about it, he was already dressed that way. And he just came in up. And they were like, you motherfucking, you got the part.
He just walked in off the street that way.
But then he gets, you know, guided off set immediately and taken away from the children that are around.
Yeah, we're going to put glass between him and the kids when they do the action.
So, yeah, they have to run for their lives, whatever, they get to the house. And they have to deal with all the weird shit that's going on in the house. And let me tell you, already, you know, if you've seen enough movies about witches, like I have, and or love witch lore and the history of it and all that stuff, you know that the food that looks so good on the table is either, one, an illusion, two, an illusion because, well, actually, it's one of the same. The illusion is the food's all actually rotting, and you're eating rotting bullshit all over the table, but it looks fucking delicious.
And it tastes good.
And it tastes delicious. This movie takes it to another notch, which I didn't even think about this at all. they're like, yeah. So they actually show this very close to the ending of the film. And the reveal is, you know, there happens to be bucket of baby guts, you know, and like children guts downstairs in the white room. And with a white room with a fucking huge ass, like 20-foot long fucking curtain, which, where did they get a curtain like that? Anyways, and guts get spilled all over the table, and then just a wave of the hand, like fucking Vanna White showing the letters, becomes a delicious array of food. A
well,
pig.
Let's not leave out the part where she just reaches in the bucket of guts and just pulls out this chubby little like baby arm.
It is the chubbiest baby arm you've ever seen in your life. I was like, it's bloated because it's been like soaked and like preserved with water and salt.
Throws it on the table, and that's what turns into like the suckling pig. Ooh. That's on the table. Yeah. And the rest of the guts all turn into very nice little pastries and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so the kids who have been in the house, it feels like for 20 years, they've been in the house for a while. They've been eating these children, and they loved it.
Well, that's why the scene you see on the trailer where the witch is pulling the hair out from the thing, yeah, that was a piece left over in one of the little pastries, I guess.
Yes, it sure was. And yeah, I guess, little Bonnie Blue is not getting back her fucking pink bow. That is not coming back.
It's not coming back.
No, it is not.
You're not going back to get it from that house.
It's in her belly. What? I mean, let's take this to another. What is the bathroom like going like? Because they're like taking a shit, you know, they're in the buckets at this point. That's, you know, olden style bucket doo-doo. Ew, it's like human, like, oh God, I can't, you know what? Why did he even ask this question?
Well, there was the point in the movie where the witch said she had to go outside to take care of, she said, what was it? She said to relieve herself. And she went outside and like dug the hole and was like throwing up in it. I don't know what that was about. They never quite explained that one.
No, they don't explain that. There are some things that don't get explained in the movie. The movie ends open-ended. I'm not going to say how the movie ends. But it leaves an opportunity for there to be another movie if they wanted to. You know, it's definitely a journey that I would like to go through again, even though I was really creeped out and disgusted the first time around. But that's because, you know, you go in and you're like, oh, they're just, you know, gonna fucking shove her ass in the damn oven and they're gonna run away and live a happy life. But
it's a little different than that.
It's a little different. It's pretty interesting. Just like you experience, you don't really see this in the movie, The Wizard of Oz, but Dorothy is actually a witch in the novels, and they kind of take that element and bring it into The Gretel and Hansel. And that's what gives it kind of like a different take on it, where Gretel actually has some kind of power within her, which is getting released. At the same time, she's also becoming a woman. So there's a lot of transformation in the film. And she has to learn how to deal with that aspect of it. Not so much the womanhood. I mean, that does come into play with, at the same time, she kind of like gets her powers and that at the same time. So that it's kind of like, you know, teen witch. When you're 16, you fucking find out, oh, fuck, I'm a witch. You know, it's just been latent, like just waiting for its time to like come out. And that's what happens to her. And she starts getting kind of like Jedi trained by the older witch.
Yeah.
Which I thought she was doing that to take her place. But that wasn't the case.
Yeah, she just needed an assistant.
Yeah, or, you know, she's lonely in the fucking middle of the woods. You're eating children all the time. Like, there's no one to talk to.
Man, there was a lot of kids to eat in that place. Like, how many people, I guess this was the old times, where they were just like, oh, children, go in the woods and play. The bears surely are not there today.
Yeah, or she's flying around with her bosom, kind of like fucking Sarah Jessica Parker in Hocus Pocus. Like, come little children, I'll take thee away. Like that. She's fucking luring them in with her fucking...
Might be.
Songs and shit.
I can't imagine a lot of kids. They're going to be lured into that house. I mean, something, yeah. Hansel and Gretel are starving, but they can't all be starving. Somebody's going to be like, oh no, Mama warned me not to go into black houses with creepy slides in the front.
I don't know. Maybe they're all starving. I love how all the children, because they do show all the children, their trapped souls are trapped within the house. They were all like different colors, and everyone was different. Like, it was an array of all these different origins of, like, children.
Yeah, she's not discriminating. She eats people of all races and creeds.
Yeah, she's just like, I'm hungry and I'm going to eat you, the end of the story. I'm going to fan you up for a little bit, because that is going to make you taste a little good if you got more meat on your bones.
Well, so, you know, really the movie, the acting performances are all great. The, you know, cinematography is great. The production design is great. Everything really is amazing about the movie. The only really problem I had was, like I said, they left a few unanswered questions. Excuse me. But other than that, I thought it was great.
Yeah, they do leave some stuff that's unanswered. Maybe it'll be answered later on. You don't really know. It doesn't take away from the movie for me. Not to the point where just like, this movie's terrible, whatever, and I just don't understand it at all. The ending is up for interpretation. Gretel's ending is up for interpretation. Hansel's not so much. You kind of know what is going to happen to him. But I give it 3 knives.
I was going to say 3.5. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it too, but I don't want to, you know, put it too high. I give it three knives. For an Osgood film, 3 knives.
I'm anxious to see what he's going to do next, because supposedly his next project is an adaptation of Paul Tremblay's novel, A Head Full of Ghosts. And I really enjoyed that book, so I'm anxious to see what he does with it.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be fucking aesthetically beautiful.
Yeah, it's a more modern story, so most of his, even like Blackcoat's Daughter, was set like in a more, you know, like an older place. This all takes place just in like an urban setting, like a suburban neighborhood.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see how he does with that, like a very different from all of his, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be designed from scratch. You can just be a regular house.
Maybe.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
We don't know what it's going through his fucking mind.
Yeah.
Perkins' mind. Who, if you didn't know, trivia, it's Anthony Perkins' son. We actually discussed that in our previous top of the decade episode. So Osgood Perkins. Ooh, Osgood. That's Wizard of Oz. Never mind. That's his son.
And his brother also does the music for the movies.
Oh, yes. But he didn't do it for this movie.
Oh, he didn't do it for this one? Oh, okay.
No, Rob did it for this movie. He's a French music person.
Well, he did it for the Blackcoat's Daughter, and I think he did it for the All the Pretty Things Live in the House. But it's just interesting that there's, you know, such a horror connection that they're all working on, you know, different aspects of the movie.
Yeah, well, we're dying to see what else he's going to come up with. I was really excited once I heard that he was actually doing this film. And I've seen, you know, the Blackcoat's Daughter and even All the Little Pretty Things. Beautiful. Looked beautiful. It was just so slow-paced. Yeah. So slow-paced. And both films, Blackcoat's Daughter and that, has like kind of like time travel to it.
Yeah.
Because, and I want to say time travel like how like Back to the Future time travel, but how...
Time jumps.
So actually this is the first movie there isn't. Well, no, I guess they're kind of a little bit of a time jump. He's into time jumping. Maybe there'll be some time jumping in there.
There is. The Head Full of Ghosts does involve like some flashbacks and that kind of thing. So,
well, there you go. That's why he got the job. Boom. Flashback guy.
All right. Well, next week, stay tuned when our Tuesday, the second Tuesday of the month feature next week is going to be Warlock 2.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Julian Sands comes back for his last Warlock movie.
Yeah, how do you not get him back for a third movie?
Like, you're a fucking idiot if you don't get him back.
The whole franchise is based on him. That's it.
Like, and I seen that third movie, and it's like eye gouging. It's terrible. And oh, good. And he's no fucking Julian Sands.
Yeah.
There's some pretty good kills in the movie, I have to say. It's one of those, like, you don't want to watch it, but you can't look away because it's so bad kind of movie, you know? You're like, ah. But yes, we will be visiting Mr. Sands and the Warlock 2 Armageddon.
That's right.
Thank you so much, and stay tuned to the horror.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.